My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want to share with you a dream that Brother Terry Hedges had back in September the 10th. He was awakened at 3 a.m. and he wrote this down. He said he was standing on a cloud and there were angels and people standing all around dressed in white, and they recognized many of those people were from our church. It was a quiet moment where people were in total awe of the presence of God. He said it was a powerful and a pleasant feeling. And he saw people walking and ascending up into heaven. So he started to move toward them because he wanted to ascend with them. And the angel stopped him and said, "It's not your time yet." And then the cloud that he was standing on shifted and turned toward our church. And people were saying, "Wow, look." And when I looked, I saw a huge soldier dressed in armor, solid white like pearl or ivory, standing on a cloud over our church building. At least three times the size of our church, and his hand was on his sword, ready to draw it for battle. So whatever you're fighting, there's already an angel standing over this place with his hand on that sword, ready to fight on your behalf. I think somebody ought to acknowledge it here this morning and declare in the spirit, "I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to win this battle." Whether it's depression, whether it's sickness, temptation, sin, or whatever. I turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Hebrews 11, 33. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." Now I want to lift two words from that text, and that's my text for today. Obtained promises. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We as Pentecostals love inspiration, and we love the inspiration that comes when people preach faith and we feel affirmed in the promises that God has given us, and we've accepted them, believe in them, trust that God will fulfill them in His time and in His way. But in every situation where God has given me a promise by the inspiration of somebody's preaching and faith, it has always run on two rails in my life. Two rails that you have to set, tracks that you have to set in order to obtain it. It's one thing to receive a promise, and it's another thing to obtain one. And that is, there's always a principle connected to every promise God has ever given me that I have to live by. And there is a price I have to pay to obtain that promise. And that's the other side of the track. One is the principle I have to live, and most people feel that if I live the principle, that's paying the price. And it's not. Because there's a price and then there's a principle. And you got to do both. And here's where Pentecostals can get discouraged, because they were inspired by the faith preaching, and then God calls on them to live the principle. and he calls on them to pay the price. And then they're coming to church wondering, why aren't you preaching that inspiration? I've got to have that inspiration. No, you need to go back and find out what the principle is and live the principle and quit making somebody else inspire you again. If God said it, you don't need any more inspiration. If God said it, now if it's just me talking, there ain't nothing to it. But if God said it, there isn't enough devils in hell that can stop it. But me not living the principle or paying the price can abort the promise and keep me from obtaining it. So I want to talk to you about how to obtain promises. Obtained promises. And there are scriptural examples of all of that. I want you to put your Bibles and your phones and your iPads down for just a moment. I want you to lift your hands toward heaven, and I want you to lift your voice, and I want you to praise the Lord and say, God, thank you for every inspiration that I've received by faith. Thank you, Lord, for every inspiration that I've received by faith. But help me to live the principle according to your word and to pay the price that I must pay in order to experience what you have promised, God. I want to obtain the promises. I thank you, Lord, for those unconditional promises that are fulfilled no matter what. But I also praise you, Lord, for those promises that you expect me to pay the price. God bless you. You may be seated. The promises of God are to every single believer, and they are an inexhaustible mine of wealth. But yet, church, we've got to search them out. We got to search out these secret sources of power. And I believe that if we do, we will become enriched with their hidden treasures. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. They are an armory containing all manner of offensive and defensive weapons, meaning that whatever war you got to fight, you are assured of the victory because you have an arsenal in that armory. You can put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The promises of God are a hospital for all of you that need to find healing. There are all manner of medicines and restorations and healing that can be found in the promises of God. You'll find ointment for every wound. There's no such thing as a true believer being wounded over something for the rest of their life. When God provides through his promises medicine for every fainting spell and remedies for every disease and healing for every wound. So blessed is he who is skilled at the pharmacy of heaven and knows how to use the promises of God to heal their spirit. Because everybody here needs to heal their wounded spirit from time to time. And I'm so glad the promises of God covers all of that in this book. And that promise is yours. And I want you to obtain it here today. I don't want you to just talk about it. I want you to obtain it. The promises are a storehouse of food and provision. They are the granaries which Joseph built in Egypt and then opened his doors to the whole world and gave everyone access to the same blessing that his wisdom produced in Egypt. God gave everyone access to the same blessing. And I just think that's an awesome thought for us to consider for just a moment. That there is nobody here that will be denied access to what my God has provided. It might be my battle that opens up the door. It might be my fight that makes available the promise of God. But I say I will fight on so that everyone here can get the Holy Ghost. Everybody here ought to receive forgiveness of sins. Everybody here needs to get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Everyone here can receive it and be blessed by it because everyone has access to this. And that, this is amazing to me because there's so many people that don't obtain the promise of healing. They don't obtain the promise of deliverance in this manner because they're not willing to pay the price. First of all, you got to learn how to worship God. You got to learn the principle behind that promise. Just consider Moses' golden pot of never-decaying manna, well-preserved and always tasty. And always God's got a word for you. There's never a time you come to church and God's not going to speak to you. I'm going to say that again. There's no such thing as you coming to church and God not speaking to you. You're either not listening or don't want one or afraid he's going to request something out of you. You don't want to give. And you got him tuned out. I was preaching revival in Canada, and there was a lady in the congregation who was Mormon, and I was preaching Jesus' name and Holy Ghost and fire and all of that, and she just said, every time you said something I didn't like, I just reached up and turned my hearing aid off. It says, so I didn't have to listen to it. And that's exactly what some of us do when God's trying to speak to us. We just reach up and try to turn our hearing aid off. I promise you, you walk in this place with a contrite heart. There is no such thing as God not moving on you. There is no, if you start worshiping God and apply the principle of praise into the promise, there is no such thing as you not getting the Holy Ghost. There is no such thing. The Bible says that all who ask receive. That means everybody in this house can be saved today. There is nobody excluded from the promise of salvation if you'll apply the principle and pay the price. See, you know what? I'm going to get my hands together. I'm going to start lifting my voice. I'm going to start saying, if all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, I think you ought to start saying it. I mean, that's a good place to start. He's talking about more than just verbalizing it. He's talking about having it in your spirit. But it's a pretty good start for you to begin by verbalizing what the Bible says. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody ought to say yes to the word of God. You could even look amen if you can't say it. You can look and act like you're enjoying yourself in God's presence. Don't you tell me that there's not a basket full of bread waiting on somebody to partake of what God has provided. I believe we'll gather up baskets to take home with us. What you receive at church is not just going to stay at church. What you receive here is going to go home with you. It'll go on the battlefield with you because the promises of God are the Christian's Magna Carta of liberty. They are the title deeds of heaven's estate, and it ought to make you happy if you know about them and you read about them. But then when you say, these promises belong to me, when you take ownership of the promises of God, it becomes like crown jewels to the Christian. It's the key of David that Jesus possessed that unlocks the throne room where the scepter and the crown and the royal apparel are kept. The church is rich with these promises today. Because I don't serve a God who skips a generation or who jumps over because he's in a bad mood, somebody because he doesn't want to bless them. I believe that I serve a covenant keeping, faithful God who is rich with the promise
Church, you don't realize how wealthy you are. You don't. I'm looking at people that are poor mouthing because they don't feel like they have this or that. You've got more wealth than you can possibly imagine. One touch of the Master's hand is more than all the world could ever afford to give you. There's nothing that this world has that you can't receive from one drop of Jesus's blood. The whole world cannot match what we have. The whole world put together. Jesus kind of said it like this: what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, you see, your soul is of great value, and God valued it enough to become a man and die on the cross so that he could forgive you of your sin and redeem you out of the terrible nightmare that you're in, that you have no way of recovering yourself from. You have no way of dealing with the sin of your life. You've made too many mistakes. You have messed up too much in your life. But God has made a way. When I can't do one thing to redeem you out of the mess you're in, I've got a God. I've got a Savior. I've got a covenant of grace. You can't tell the height, you can't tell the depth, you can't tell the length, and you can't tell the breadth of the unsearchable riches of God. But they're stored up in the preaching of the word. If somebody say, I want that, I want it today, I want it now. Woo! Harabaya satama. All you got to do is give up your sin. And if you lay your sin down, then Jesus will pick you up. Do you really mean it? That your sin is more important to you and you think it's going to comfort you in the night? You think it's going to be there for you to give you some momentary pleasure? That it's going to keep you in the darkness? That it's going to keep you when you're depressed? It's going to keep you in the emergency room? Your sin won't do that for you. But I've got a God. He's in the desert. He's on the mountain. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. I've got a God who will be there in the time of trouble. I've got a God who will be there in the time of darkness. He said, I am the one who dwells in darkness. He's in the dark. He's in the light. I said he's in the noontime. He's at the midnight hour. And at midnight, I heard a cry, and it's the voice of the bridegroom, and he's still crying at the midnight hour. I wish somebody would obtain the promise. It's a covenant with God. You got to know how to obtain these promises and see them fulfilled. And you got to obtain the promise by having faith when you're not being inspired by motivational people around you. We got to sacrifice what is precious to us in this world to find what is priceless in God's world. Well, I can't give this up and I can't give that up. Well, wait till you get this, which is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Wait till you get this, which is that which fell on the day of Pentecost. Then we'll discuss whether or not you can lay down the whole world. Because this is good stuff. And I see an angel over this church right now. and angels lined up all around here. You may not be able to see him, but I hope God opens up your eyes. I see the angels in this place, and my angel just walked up here and is standing with me while I preach about the promises of God. Don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Come on. Well, Brother Kinsey, I don't feel like I've got a promise. I don't feel like God's promised me anything. Well, there's a reason for that. Let me explain it to you. He never promises you anything unless you attempt to do something that's impossible for you to do. Joshua received a new promise when he was given a new assignment to take Israel over Jordan into the promised land. Then God showed up and gave him the promise that he had given to Abraham, Isaac, but that wasn't good enough for Joshua. He needed to get across this river of Jordan at flood stage and then take on a bunch of enemies that he had no power to defeat on his own. Just look at Ai and find out that a lesser force overwhelmed them easily when God does not go with you. But God gives you a promise when you try to do something impossible. You say, Brother Kinsey, there's no way I can be Pentecostal. Good. You say, why you say good? Because you can't be a Pentecostal by yourself. But walk up here. Oh, I'm going to preach it right now. I challenge you to walk up here and try to do the impossible. I can't clap my hands like this bunch can, and I can't shout like them. Wait till you get this. How many of you said when you came to church you would never act like this? You would never shout. You would never jump up and down. You would never praise the Lord. And I saw some of you laid out the other night in the spirit, and you said you would never act this way. Woo! Hallelujah. Wait till you taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, if you don't want to go through any trials, you're not going to get any new promises unless you go through trials. It's in the trial that you get fresh promises. It was Elijah at the brook Cherith that receives miraculous provision from that babbling brook and was fed by ravens. God spoke to him and dried the brook up and sent him to Zarephath. There, helping out a widow, he finds bread from an empty barrel because he was in obedience to God, acting on faith, dependent on God. God gives him a fresh promise. The faith which received the first promise obtained the second promise because he kept obeying and he kept fulfilling it and he kept doing it. Men obtain not merely by receiving the promise, but by fulfilling those things that God is requiring you to do. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, maybe you need to start doing what the Bible says. Okay, that's a good place to start. What about that? How many of you think the Bible's a good place to start? All right, one thing the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I love the story that Murray Lane, he's going to be with Jesus, tells about walking the halls of a hospital. And there he heard the cry of a man who needed God. He was one of the hell's angels or something to that effect. And he was a bad dude. And he did not know how to pray. He didn't know how to call on God. He was just laying in a hospital bed and he didn't know what to do with his life. He had almost was killed the night before by somebody jumping him from behind and beating him and stabbing him. And when he wakes up in the hospital after being in a coma for a little while, he realized, my life's a mess. And all he could remember was a Sunday school teacher. He'd gone to church one time and heard one Sunday school teacher that made one statement that stuck with him. He didn't know anything else about God. He said, but if you ever need God, just knock and it shall be opened. Well, this dude didn't know what that meant. He just reached over in the wall and started knocking on the wall and said, God, if you're there. And Murray Lane was walking while that man was crying out. He walked in and said, I got your answer. That man got the Holy Ghost and was an elder in the Fresno church till he died. I just think somebody ought to start knocking. Knock and keep on. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to start putting faith in the knock. Yes, Jesus said some of these things aren't going to happen unless you pray and fast. You're hoping God don't call it today, aren't you? How many of you are at least praying for that? God, please don't call me on a fast today. Cashew chicken, that's what I'm talking about. I got to get out of here and get to the cashew chicken. Just don't call the fast now. You can call it tomorrow. Don't call it when I'm doing Bible study and they're cooking lumpia. I don't want you to call it right then, Lord. But when God does call it, you got to pray and fast. Some of you need to get like Jacob when he's holding on to the angel and prevailing with him in prayer. He said, I will not let you go till you bless me. And that's what you need to learn to do is hold on. How many of you remember back in Pentecost when everybody was praying around you and somebody was saying, let go. And then somebody else was crying, hold on. Woo. And then somebody else said, turn it loose. Woo. And then they're shaking you and you're praying for it. God, please loose it up on me because I am tired of getting shook till my teeth rattles. How many of y'all remember the Pentecostal massage? People came to the altar just to get a back rub. Wow! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, we got the Holy Ghost in self-defense. But praise God, we still got it. Come on, somebody. You need to seek until you find. You need to knock until it's open. You need to ask until you receive it. Ask. And this unchangeable God, he never revokes his promises. If you can pay the price and live the principle. That means you got to get a right spirit. See, some of you want God to fulfill his promise to you while you're still angry at somebody for what they did to you. Now, why didn't you stand up and shout? That was my best thought right there. And y'all completely missed it. But you don't know what they did. I don't want to know. Because I'm liable to be mad at them too. And then when I get mad at them, then I can't get the promise of God. You can't do that. Well, you know, I've been wounded for 30 years. Well, no wonder you can't get a promise. You're holding on to something that's more precious to you. I wish I knew how to preach here this morning. Woo! Santa Maria. Why don't you let it go so you can receive something a whole lot better? It's better than being angry. It's better than being bitter. It's better than holding on to your mess. Woo! I wish somebody would get blessed here today. Because you're asking, you're holding on, you're touching the hem of his garment, you're pressing your way through. I want you to stand, musicians, come. Now, what I'd like you to do this morning, because so many people in this room don't even realize how many promises they have aborted. I want all of our intercessors to come and get lined up. Y'all missed your cue. Brother Jim didn't, but he was coming on up. Come on, intercessors, get with me. Now, some of you have missed some promises in your life because you just didn't hold on long enough. It wasn't important enough, wasn't precious enough, priceless enough to give up what is of no value in this world. Perfecting holiness and your spirit. You got to perfect your spirit. You got to get your spirit right. That's what the scripture that I read to you. You got to get your spirit right. You cannot obtain the promises of God when your spirit's wrong. Now, I know this from scriptural revelation and understanding, and I've watched so many people destroy themselves because they thought they were right, but they were wrong because their spirit was wrong. And they never obtained what I knew their anointing could accomplish. Never. What their anointing could accomplish, because they would never let God deal with their spirit. Oh, they were holy. They lived this rule and that rule, and they had the rules down pat. But there are some rules that will not obtain the promise. You got to have the right spirit. And so everybody here's got promises that are still hanging in the balance. I'm telling you, I feel that in the Holy Ghost so strong. Even the people of God, the saints of God. You've got promises that are hanging in the balance today if you'll just come possess it. Some of you could get the Holy Ghost right now. So I want you to take your friend that's standing next to you by the hand, and I want you to bring them to the front. Just, I know we got a lot of people here, and we're going to crowd up in here, and we're going to get a bunch of people. But you get them. You get them. Come on. You get them. And you bring everybody here. I want you to come to the front. And I want you to stand up here. And I want you to believe God. Every one of you in the house. Every one of you have a promise made to you by Jesus. A covenant-keeping God who is faithful. I just got to get you on the right track. It's not God's promising that's the problem. It's the track you're trying to run it on is not there. And I'm trying to lay the track while we go here. I'm trying to get it set for you so that when you do come up here, you can obtain promise. So take them by the hand, bring them up here and say, God, I want my spirit right. I'm going to take hold of this. I'm not letting go until you bless me. Huh? I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep trusting the Lord until I receive and it is fulfilled what has been promised. Intercessors, I want to release you right now. Saints of God, I want to release you to pray for these precious people all around you. Whatever they need from God, because there's so many people here that need that promise. You may be unaware of how your spirit has affected it. I don't want you to live less than what you're anointing, because I'm not questioning at all your anointing. I'm not questioning at all that God's a covenant keeping God. I want to know, what kind of track are you trying to run the promise on? Because it's not going anywhere if you don't have the right track. Having therefore these promises, cleanse your spirit, perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's outward and inward. The rules and the right spirit, both have to be in operation. Principle, pay the price, follow them. Let the Holy Ghost flow in this place right now. Let Jesus, intercessors.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.